A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Listening to The Scotsman, I am Brian Priest, joined as I always am by Mr. World Health Organization Tran, also known as WHO.
I like that.
Have you ever gotten
good.
That
no.
one?
That was good. I caught you by surprise. I like it.
So we got a great show today planned. We're going to be talking Utah State, but I got to start elsewhere. We're going to do some shameless self-promotion. The KSL Sports app, WHO. Have you heard about this? Has Nate pushed this to you?
You guys can download it. You can get a lot of story. Any story from KSLSports.com is on there. You can watch some of our stuff on there.
It's got everything KSL Sports has. Yep. Written stories. It's all our podcasts, radio shows. I think they even cut the previous night's newscasts and stuff, and those go onto the app. So new and updated KSL Sports app. And I won't go too deep into this, but I was not a fan of the app as it was previously constituted.
Yes. So We can say that now.
We can say that now. So I can vouch as somebody who did not use it previously. If you are that same person, check it out. Give it a chance. Download it. It's so much better, so much more functional. Really, really good. But as you know, it's Utah State, the Scotsman here. We're going to start with National Signing Day, and then we're not going to spread things out as much today. WHO, we're really going to focus on looking at this week marks the halfway point of the Mountain West men's basketball schedule. So every team has played about half of their conference games. So we're just going to do a Mountain West men's basketball deep dive, but we'll start with National Signing Day, and 42 guys coming in. It's a really big class for Anderson.
For Utah State, 42, that's a lot. That's a lot of guys.
Yeah, so big numbers.
It's funny we say National Signing Day, but this is we already had early signing day, which is where all the big stuff happens.
Like a week before Christmas is that early signing day, and that's where the big names usually come in.
So yeah, you get a couple of people trickling in here at the regular National Signing Day, but again, the big number is 42. 42 is the big story here, and Utah State needs to replace a lot of people who have transferred. A lot of people graduated, so this is going to be a good way to replenish some of that roster.
Yeah. So and these 42 guys spread out, 21 defenders. We got 9 defensive backs, 8 defensive linemen, and 4 linebackers. On offense, 20 different players. They're bringing in 7 wide receivers, 5 offensive linemen, 4 running backs, 3 tight ends, and 1 quarterback. The quarterback is a guy we've talked about previously, McKay Hillstead out of Sky Ridge. And one thing that stood out to me yesterday in the signing day press conference with Blake Anderson was Blake made it really clear that they're going to go into spring ball in March, and Cooper Legault is going to get the first drive of spring ball, and then that's going to be an open competition, and Blake is going to have a wide open Levi Williams. You've got Cooper Legault, you've got Bishop Davenport, McKay Hillstead coming in, and so there's going to be a open competition at quarterback for Utah State after they just struggled with consistency last season. I think it's a good idea.
A lot of injuries last year, so that really compounded on it. My money's on Cooper Legault. We've seen him in the bowl game. We've seen him play pretty well last year when he was not injured. Levi Williams, the dark horse there in the quarterback competition because transferred from Wyoming, starter Wyoming. So
played really well for the Cowboys.
So Utah State. So that's going to be – it'll be interesting to see him during the offseason. or when we start to see the spring ball, was that March?
The spring game, they said they have it all mapped out and planned. They just haven't sent out the details to fans and media. But, it's coming up. That spring game is going to be, I think he said, toward the end of March. I just don't have an exact date, but we'll get you that as soon as it comes through. One thing that I'm going to be keeping an eye on for this Utah State football team before we move on is they really got hit by the transfer portal and graduation along the trenches, the offensive and the defensive lines. So you lose Chandler Dolphin, potentially losing Alfred Edwards. You lose Waylon Lapuaho in the transfer portal. That's on the offensive line. On the defensive side, you're losing Byron Vaughns, Daniel Greshick, Tavian Coleman. You're losing a bunch of guys. So that was one of the focuses, and Blake talked a lot about that. If you want to listen to that National Signing Day press conference, Utah State football has that on their social media account, so you can go and find that. But it's going to be an interesting season for Utah State without having the NIL money. I think you're starting to see that impact this Aggie program, and you wonder how well Blake and his staff are going to be able to hold it together.
My Aggie ice cream sponsorships to really get up there at Utah State. So,
do you have a favorite Aggie ice cream?
It's been such a long time, but I'm classic. Chocolates, you know, anything that's chocolatey, I like. So.
That's a fake answer.
Yeah,
I think you're making it up.
I haven't been to Logan in years, so like I used to have a class that was near the Aggie ice cream building, so that was it was a struggle not to get ice cream every time before that class, a nutrition class of all things, even so. Moving on to basketball, though. Utah State coming off a big win. We were going to record this before. I'm glad that we waited until after the New Mexico game because the Aggies led most of that game. It got a little closer to the end there because the Aggies really couldn't put away, but they led by like 20 in the first half.
Yeah, Utah State came out, started really fast, built up a big lead, and they were doing this spectrum magic thing.
Yes.
And so shirts of the autumnal colors, it looked like from TV, unfortunately I wasn't able to get up there last night, looked like an incredible environment. Uh-huh. Aggies get out to that fast start, and New Mexico, one thing that we've got to remember about this New Mexico team is they were the last undefeated team in the country. Right. They were ranked just ranked two or 20, three.
I think they're ranked 25 still.
They were ranked 25th last week. They dropped out. But they've been ranked, I think, for three different weeks of this season. So it's a good team. That's a good win at home for this Utah State team. Let's go ahead and shift to Mountain West basketball. Start talking about that. And I'm completely out of it. I don't know where I am.
Where did you lost the first time? We were talking about San Diego State, UNLV.
No, I want to reset that whole thing. Let's just act like we stopped talking about the game last night.
We talked about the game last night. All right, and then we kind of talked about how the game and their big win and everything. And so then you're like, well, let's talk about the Mountain West as a whole.
Yeah. So let's go ahead. We'll start talking about the Mountain West as a whole, and we'll actually take a reverse view of this. Let's start at the bottom of the Mountain West, and we'll go through each of these teams. And some of them, like these teams below the Aggies in the standings, we probably won't spend a whole lot of time on, and then we'll discuss your Nevadas and your San Diego States a little bit more. But Colorado State, I think this is a great place to start off. The Rams, 10-13, 2-8 in the Mountain West this season, and they're conveniently enough, the Aggies' next opponent Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Colorado State knocked the Aggies out last year, but they're not having a very good year this year. And, you can triple against CSU, but like it should be a win for the Utah State Aggies. So the Utah State Aggies should be twice, actually. So
really the big question for Utah State going into this game is just that we've seen how much the Aggies tend to struggle on the road.
Yes.
They got a great win against Fresno in their last road action. And so you hope that they can build on that a little bit, but they were able to. They won a road game previously this year in Colorado already against Air Force. So you head over to – where is Colorado State at? What town is it? It's not Boulder. Boulder is CU.
Yeah, I've never been, so
I know this. I wish
– I'll Google while you talk.
You do a good job. Yeah. But so the Aggies are going to have to go in there, and they're really going to have to take care of business. And that's, I think, the common theme for everything with this Utah State
they're
team this year.
The Aggies are going to have to go to Fort Collins.
Fort Collins, Colorado. That's the one. I knew it right on the tip of my tongue.
Thank you, Google. All right.
But just basically, the Aggies can't count on a win going into this game.
They should Colorado, win, but they need to really – I mean, this Utah State team can't take the nights off. Like, that's the long short of it. We're talking about them being sort of like in the middle of this conference, and, you know, that's why they're going to struggle some of these games. But hopefully, Utah State tomorrow or whenever you listen to this, when they play Colorado State, can get that important road victory. They're going to need a couple more of these if they want to stay – where we think they, you know, if they want to make a tournament team, these are the games that, you know, these gimmies that they're going to have to take. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this comes down to is if Utah State fancies themselves as an NCAA tournament team and a team that you would hope could maybe even try and challenge for a win in the first round of the NCAA tournament, you have to be able to take care of business in games like this. You have to be able to go to Fort Collins and get a victory against a team that is lesser than. Yeah.
And if you can come out and get like hot shooting again, like they have been, you're in for a good one. So who's next?
So next in the standings, let's got to find the right page. So we've got we're looking at Wyoming, and Wyoming's always such an interesting team because it seems like they're kind of similar to Utah State. They're a lot better at home. They don't have that Spectrum Magic home environment, but they're a much better team in Laramie than they are when they leave the friendly confines frigid.
Haven't really heard of them out this year, so I don't know. Again, just a team. Like, here's the thing. The team that are below Utah State that we're talking about here, you know, you can trip up against them. Like, we've seen you on NLV beat Nevada. We saw Fresno State beat New Mexico at the beginning of conference play. Like, these teams can trip you up, and there will be spoilers along the way. So hopefully, these top four or five teams that we'll get to, these are the games that these trap games that you want to avoid because they're really going to hurt your positioning in not only the Mountain West Conference but your NCAA tournament bid as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Wyoming at 7-14, 2-7. If you get hung up on those records and you start thinking it's an easy opponent, real quick things can turn around and you pick up a bad loss.
Right.
And it hurts that tournament resume. Wyoming in their last game did beat Fresno State 85-62 at home. So, like I said, they're a good team. That's a 23-point win, and we've seen Fresno State twice. And, of course, the Aggies are 2-0 against them, but Fresno State's tough.
Tough out. So, let's go to – I don't know where Fresno is, but
– They're up next.
Yeah, they're tough. They're a tough defensive team.
Yep.
We've seen them. I mean, their record doesn't really show, but – another team that you know is going to be like UNLV. I think we can group both those teams, UNLV and Fresno, in this area. Really tough teams that are, you know, again, probably not going to make an NCAA berth unless they win the tournament. But those are two teams that could really trip you up.
So. Yeah, Fresno State's they've got legitimate Division I players. They've got guys who can score. The thing holding Fresno State back is they've got all the athleticism and all the size. They can't shoot. They cannot shoot the ball at all, and that's been the Bulldogs' big struggle all year. They've lost three straight. The next team that we've got in the Mountain West, Air Force, and this is a program that's always going to be hampered simply by the fact that they're Air Force. You know, so they're never going to consistently challenge for, you know, being a power in the Mountain West, but they are 12-11 this season, 3-7 in the Mountain West. They lost to Utah State. It was the Aggies' second Mountain West game of the year, first on the road.
So you thought Utah State was going to be a monster.
Yeah, exactly. This was back when the Aggies are just going in and putting the hurt on teams night after night.
Still undefeated almost at that point, or they had lost one game.
They had lost one game against Weber State, Air Force falling on hard times lately. They've lost four straight, lost to Boise State in their last game, 59-52. They do have a freshman, Rytus Petritus. That's actually his name, first of all. And secondly, good for his parents.
Yeah. Cetus Lapidus, guys.
That's got to be a tough one to go through school with, though.
Trust me. As someone named Who. Bill's character. San Jose?
Yeah. No, actually, the next team, you already mentioned them real briefly, UNLV. And this is one team, I personally think that this is the best of the rest. You know, if we want to lump Colorado State, Wyoming, Fresno, Air Force, UNLV, and San Jose State into one group,
yes.
I think UNLV has the most talent of this group. And I'll tell you what concerns me about UNLV is they're going to be hosting the Aggies on Wednesday, March 1st. And the Running Rebels are a team that I think they only returned six players from their squad last year, and they brought in nine transfers. It's basically an entire new program. There was one starter from last year that is getting consistent minutes with them this season. And what that tells me is that they're a team that, as the season goes along, they're going to continue rounding into shape, developing, and they're just going to keep getting better and better and better. They're 15-7 right now, 4-6 in the Mountain West. But, you know, kind of to back up my – sorry, I got ahead of myself there, but – This is a scary team to me. They came into Logan and
gave Utah State.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad game. The Aggies were able to pick up the win in that one, but UNLV is athletic and just with nine transfers and so much talent, I just see that team coalescing. They're slowly playing better. They've won three straight games right now, and I just think that, you know, we face them basically a month from now, 4 weeks from now on March 1st. And that's going to be a really difficult game in my mind. Next, we've got San Jose State. Aggie fans have already seen them as well, 13-9.
And that went right down the buzzer.
Yeah.
Like San Jose had a shot to win at the buzzer and a pretty clean look. They just missed it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this was a team that could have come into Logan and given the Aggies an L already.
That could have derailed. Because Utah State needed that home win badly. They were coming off the road. I think they came off the road, right? Yeah, they came off the road. They beat UNLV, beat San Jose, but they needed that win. That was the week after the Nevada loss. So,
yes.
They really needed that there. So San Jose, again, pretty tough team. I don't know if they'll have enough, unless they can get a bunch of quality wins the next month here. They probably won't pass Utah State as that, you know, what we call the bellwether.
Yeah, the bellwether, yeah.
So San Jose is scary, but they're going to need a little more help if they want to get them to that next level.
Yeah, well, if they want to pass Utah State, of course. But, you know, again, I'm looking at the Aggies' future schedule, and the Spartans are hosting Utah State Saturday, February 11th. So what is this? Today we're recording on Thursday the 2nd, so 9 days from now. And I think that's another one of those. That's going to be a really difficult game. Both UNLV and San Jose State are the two road games that I have circled on my calendar right now for this Aggie team. New Mexico, we already talked about them briefly as we started this.
They were ranked last week.
Yep, ranked team. And the thing about New Mexico, one, USU doesn't have to go down to the pit this year. So really fortunate with the road struggles that we don't have to go down there. But that's a top-heavy team.
Yep.
You know, Udazi, you've got Jamal Mashburn Jr., the son of former NBA player Jamal Mashburn, and then you've got Jalen House, who is the son
of Daniel House.
The son of the cousin of Daniel House.
Okay.
Let's see. They had a graphic in the game. He's the cousin of Daniel House. He's the son of former Celtic guard Eddie House.
Oh.
And his godfather is Mike Bibby.
Okay. Well, so
it's a basketball royalty.
Yeah, exactly. New Mexico, so their net was 30. This is last week's stats. Net was 30, KenPom 45. They were in ESPN, CBS, Matorvik. Everybody had New Mexico as anywhere from a 6-9 seed, made all 81, brackets of the, bracketology or whatever. So, yeah, that's a team that everybody thinks if it ended right now would be a tournament team at least an eight or nine seed. So. Somewhere in that range.
And to go on that point, these next four teams that we're talking about, I think all four of them are tournament teams. And if it's me, USU is the bubble team in the Mountain West.
I've got
New Mexico, Nevada, San Diego State, and Boise State.
Last time I looked at the bracketology, Utah State was like first four out. I mean, there's so many four outs now. First four out or next four out. They were on that bubble watch. So that game against New Mexico, really big.
Yeah.
Really helpful.
Okay, so that was Utah State's first quad one win of the season.
Their second quad one total, right? Because the first one was San Diego State that they lost, and then New Mexico State was their first win.
Yeah, it was their first quad one win. I've been wondering all season, have you seen the Chris Pratt meme where it's like, I don't know what such and such is, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask?
Yes.
Maybe I've been under a rock. Maybe I've been out of the loop. What are these quad wins? This is the first year I've ever heard anybody talk about quad wins.
Like, to be honest, I don't watch a lot of college basketball anymore. But, obviously, so the teams that had the high nets and everything, net ratings, those are teams that are like, all right, these are – I think San Diego State beating Utah State counted as a quad one.
It was a quad one win for San Diego State.
Like, the tough teams are like –
But they can change, too.
Right,
you, they can. Like, you could beat a team – 2 weeks ago that was a quad one win, and then they lose five straight, and it's no longer a quad one win.
We need the Lobos to stay quad one, guys. So that's what we're saying.
I don't get it. I just don't know when that started. When did that come into the lexicon?
Yeah. The problem is that college basketball has really lost a lot of interest lately.
Yeah.
Like, G League and all this stuff, and guys get leaving early. It is what it is, but good win. Let's just say good win for New Mexico.
See, maybe that just shows our age. If we just call it a good win, I don't need to qualify it with a bunch of stuff.
So there was that win. Again, we talked about Utah State playing Colorado State. And then I think Ryan Odom, I think I saw a clip of him saying after the game, he was thanking the fans for coming for that New Mexico win. And said, hey, I know that the game against San Diego State next week is like the first week of spring break, which I'm like, it's February. You guys have spring break already?
February 8th.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He said, I was like, so he wanted the spectrum to be full. But he's like, I know that you're all going on spring break. Please come to this game. I know it's a hard ask, but so I'll have to send you that clip because I was like, oh, that's
yeah, I missed that one. But
that game's coming up, and we'll talk about San Diego State in just a second. And Nevada beat San Diego State just recently. They lost to UNLV, and came back and beat San Diego State. So, again, the Mountain West, just really right now, you can see how tough it is night in, night out for these top teams.
Yeah, these teams just beating up on each other. You know, the Aggies went into Nevada, tied late in the second half, and then
just went cold.
Wolfpack goes on a great run.
Ken Pom, 56, net 37 for them. ESPN has them as the first four out. CBS has a 10 seed. 11 seed, and then they made most of the bracket. So Nevada is on the bubble right above Utah State.
Yeah,
and so they got a big win. Utah State got a big win. So Nevada might be the team that Utah State's trying to fight for that last Mount West spot.
That would not surprise me at all. If it comes down to the last week of the regular season, or if you're looking at the Mountain West tournament down in Vegas, and if the conversation comes down to basically either Nevada or Utah State is probably going to get in and who can advance farther, that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
So Utah State really needs to get that game at home against Nevada. So.
And, Nevada, that win against San Diego State, 75-66 in their last game, that's a really big win for them. That's a huge resume builder. The Aztecs were ranked at the time.
22.
Yeah. So good win for Nevada. They're 17-6 this season. They do come up to Logan, as we've mentioned. They're going to be in it'll be a Saturday. I don't know why I'm stumbling all over my words. I'm a complete mess. Yes.
The J.C. Carroll game.
Nevada, J.C. Carroll.
Special magic. J.C. Carroll magic. If the Utah State Aggies are down by a few, I hope they just suit J.C. Carroll up. Just like, you know what, J.C., get in there.
I imagine he could give you 10 minutes still, right?
Oh, at least. At least. That guy's in incredible shape, I bet.
It's his COVID year. Does he get a COVID? I don't know how that works. Maybe not.
The former tenants of the Taco Bell Arena, I guess they're still the same tenants of the Taco Bell. The tenants of the former Taco Bell Arena, I should say. Boise State.
Yeah, the Boise State and Broncos, 18-5, 8-2 in the Mountain West. They've won three straight games. They went into Air Force and knocked them off 59-52 in their last game. And Boise State's just good. They are solid,
San Diego
top
State's
to bottom.
And San Diego State got most of the pub for Mountain West, but Boise State's net and their Pom, Ken Pom, really close to each other.
I think San Diego State is the overall better team. They can their best game is a higher level than what Boise State can give you in their best game. But I think the Broncos are more consistent, and you know what you're going to get night in and night out from Boise more than you
Boise's
do from
been good
San
this
Diego.
Year. Boise, I mean, we saw the Aggies go up there and just get demolished.
Yes.
They got
smashed.
That
was the game where Rylan Jones ended up getting hurt.
Yes.
And he hasn't played since that time. I did want to point this out. I'm glad I remembered. Watching the game last night, this was the first time I've seen Rylan Jones on the bench.
Yeah, they showed
he
him.
He had not been in the house.
Like, oh, hey.
So that's got to be progress.
Right?
I mean, having had a couple of concussions in my life, being in the spectrum with a concussion, not easy.
That's not just loud noises. There's lights, a lot of stuff going on. So, yes. Again, if we're assuming that concussion is the injury, then yes, that's a big one. So Boise, like I said, Utah State got robbed there, got smashed. It got super smashed. That's a tough team, and I mean they're pretty much in, right? They're anywhere between like a 7 to the 10 seed that I'm looking at here. Like I said, Goodnet 22, KenPom 26. I think Boise, they'll be tough, and you don't want to see them in the tournament.
No.
So but they're pretty much in the NCAA tournament. So.
Yeah, unless the bottom falls out for the Broncos, they should be a tournament team this year.
Really for any of these teams, right? For New Mexico, Nevada, maybe not Nevada, but like at least New Mexico, Boise, San Diego State, we're pretty much thinking they're all in. Nevada's the one team that you think Utah State could probably jump. But Nevada's right now solidly in two. So.
Yeah. Should we wrap up with the Aztecs?
Yes, go.
17-5, also 8-2 in conference. They're going to be up here next week.
Yes.
And just a few days away, Wednesday, February 8th. So huge game, like you were saying. Yeah. Odom calling out to the students, saying, come pack the house. This is a good Utah State team, and we see how much better they play. I mean, let's see. Stephen Ashworth has had multiple posts about the Spectrum crowds.
Yep.
Taylor Funk last night after the game said something about how the herd is just the best in the country.
Did they do the interview with the In-N-Out Burger? Did you see that?
I missed that one.
Like Stephen Ashworth posted on Instagram, and it looks like his was like, oh, they're at the local In-N-Out Burger up there. Apparently, Logan has an In-N-Out Burger. I need to go to Logan a couple
they
more.
Do.
I need to go to Logan at least, hopefully for the Jason Carroll jersey retirement. But I was like, okay, there's an In-N-Out there, but late night just hanging out at the In-N-Out Burger because it was a late game last night. Started 8:30 Mountain Time because they got the CBS whatever, right?
I wonder if the In-N-Out has replaced the Smiths down the road as the parking lot hangout.
Yeah, exactly. So
Logan is a sad place,
right?
Sometimes.
So yeah, Utah, San Diego State. That's a big one. San Diego State, Net 23, KenPom 24. Pretty much everybody had them as the number 7 seed. That's pretty solid. Number 7. Mm-hmm. They're really good. We saw them. We went to, Aggies went to San Diego. They got smashed in that first half really badly.
They did.
They did try to make a comeback, but it was just too – I mean, when you go down by 20-some-odd points
– dug way too big of a hole.
It's a hard hole to get out of. But if they start off – if they play like they play against New Mexico State, they could be anybody in the Mountain West.
Yes.
If they come out and do what they did. And last night, or against New Mexico, Sean Bairstow came to play. Stephen Ashworth.
Season-high 20 points for Bairstow.
Dan Atkins making himself – well, he's still come off the bench.
Dan Akin finished 16-5-5.
And on efficient.
And it was a career-high 5 assists which is something that I personally love to see.
Right.
I love seeing Bairstow explode for that 20-point season high. Akin with a little bit more distribution. And this was a conversation we had last week that Dan Akin is not very good at passing out of the post. So just to see him with eyes out and looking to find teammates when the opportunity presents itself is great.
Because that's what the Aggies really need, another dimension to their offense to be able to get better shots.
Yep.
If you can get Dan Akin in the post, that's amazing. Because now teams are like, okay, now you got to be careful. You got to think of who you're going to double team with, how you're going to double team and not get hurt. So, so that was a big one. So, yeah, San Diego State's big. I mean, we're skipping over. You and I are skipping over Colorado State. But hopefully the Aggies take care of business Colorado State and they can focus on San Diego State coming up. So,
yeah. You got anything else for basketball?
Not for basketball, no.
Well, let's should we start wrapping this up?
Yeah, so I think we got to do our Scotsman of the Week.
Oh, my gosh, I did. I forgot the Scotsman of the Week.
I'm going to pull mine up real quick here. I'm going to go back to gymnastics because I'm a big gymnastics fan. We actually had Utah State against BYU. They did it. They went and had BYU come into the Spectrum last Friday. Spectrum Magic for the USU Aggie gymnastics team. And I'm watching the videos that they posted. I'm very proud of the Spectrum being it's not Huntsman full, but it's really a really good crowd for a gymnastics team, which, again, when I was there, I had no idea Utah State had a gymnastics team. But we're going to congratulate Sophie Sullivan again. She was named Beam Specialist of the Week again.
Second time.
So Mount Rim, Beam Specialist of the Week to Sophie Sullivan. So really good. Again, Utah State going through a transitional period, losing a lot of people to Auburn.
It was a close meet with BYU, yep. though, right?
And we talked about how doesn't matter where you are or when you play. You just say if you can beat BYU in anything, you take that. And that's two wins they have against this year. So, yep. Congrats to Utah State's gymnastics team and Sophie Sullivan.
All right, so got busy week in Utah State athletics. Women's tennis got two matches this weekend. They're at Idaho State on Friday, February 4th. Then they host Utah Tech on Sunday, February 5th. The men's tennis team hosting Eastern Washington on February 3rd. And Grand Canyon, the Antelopes, making another appearance for us on Saturday, February 4th. Gymnastics going up to Boise to take on Boise State in a dual meet on Friday, February 3rd. Track and field is going to be hosting their first home meet, the Utah State Invitational, this weekend. I know the University of Utah is going up there. I'm not sure what other programs are participating in that one, but that's going to be Saturday, February 4th. Women's basketball, they've got two games this week. Actually, they played Colorado State this morning, came up on the short end of that one. I think after the first quarter, I want to say there was only like 7 or 8 made field goals the rest of the game for Utah State. It was, just a struggle. They fall against the Rams. They do host Nevada on Saturday, February 4th. Men's basketball, they head to Fort Collins where they'll take on Colorado State on February 4th, and then they come back home February 8th. That'll be a Wednesday against San Diego State. So a lot of really good things going on. Quick mention, the KSL Sports app one more time. Written articles, social media, podcasts, The Scotsman right there.
Right.
Radio shows, everything under the KSL
Please
Sports umbrella.
Download the KSL Sports app. If you do, you download the KSL Sports app. Brian will ride the bull shirtless at Utah State. So
I might do that anyway. Where can they find you on social media?
HUUTRAN, Superman. That's Hootran, Superman. And again, on the KSL Sports app.
And then you can find, I don't know if I want anybody to find me after this terrible podcast performance this evening, but you can find me, Brian Priest, on Twitter at BPriest24. Be sure to share, rate, and review, and thanks for listening to The Scotsman.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.